Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
In the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe, and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, again, for those of you who are tuning in time after time to the lowly episodes of the Vinny Eastwood Show, getting your daily dose of humor amidst an incredibly horrible black hole of a reality that seems to take all the fun and just suck right out of it. You know, just like, oh my God, oh my God. If reality was a $2 hooker, it'd be that good at sucking. Now, I wanted to also remind people today that I'm in a little bit of a financial emergency. Just got a call from the hospital last night, and my wife's going to be going into surgery like in the next couple of days. And that means for the next month or so, she won't be able to earn an income of any kind. So we need to take up about maybe a 50% of our income shortfall within the next month. That means we need to raise about $2,000. New Zealand dollars, by the way, isn't maybe that's, I don't know, like 1,400 US dollars or something like that. So if you can help us, now would be a very, very good time. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate either through that Patreon account, so you can give us a monthly, or through the PayPal or the Kiwi Bank for the New Zealand listeners. Really do need your help, ladies and gentlemen. Cannot continue to do what I'm doing without you. My very special guest joining me today, on the other hand, holds the moniker James Bond is Real. Now, a lot of people have seen James Bond films and you think, oh, it's such a great franchise. It's so much fantastical bullshit. No, no, no. There's a whole bunch of real, evil, scary people in the intelligence agencies of this world, and they do come up with weird, freaky, evil schemes in order to try and control it. But for some reason, they haven't gotten total control of it just yet, hence the existence of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Now, James Bond is real. Do you have a real name?
Right. My name is Mike Sparks. I'm the author of the book. I've got my little visual aid here.
James Bond.
I wrote the book in 2011.
Yeah.
And so that book warned people about the deep state before it now became vogue. And that's good. I'm glad the people of the world realize there is a deep state. That's actually three levels above the nation state figurehead. So if you got President Trump, you've got the intelligence agencies above him, you have the banksters, and then the secret societies themselves. For a visual of the secret societies, you just watch the movie Eyes Wide Shut with Stanley Kubrick, and that'll give you a visual of the Rothschild Illuminati. In the United States here, we are run by the Rockefeller Illuminati. And there is a rivalry between the two. One wants more war and death, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds are tree huggers. Let's go save the environment, cut down carbon emissions and all that. So they're obsessed with sex. So one's obsessed with violence, the other's obsessed with sex. And the leader of the Rockefeller Illuminati died a few days ago. David Rockefeller at the age of 101. Very evil man. The evilest man on the planet until now. He obviously died, you know, not willingly, because he had like 7 heart transplants. He didn't have to wait for a donor. But at 101, he was getting supernatural evil help, no doubt. The question that we have to ask to get ahead of the threat is, did he have death contingency plans? Which I think he would. You know, if you're 100 years old, you know you die at any moment, you would think that he had contingency plans. Like, as soon as I die, I want this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. Now, the good news is, believe it or not, in all this, is he does have a son, David Jr., who's only 75, and he's taken over. So hopefully he wants to live for a few more years, and he doesn't want to do a Samson, you know, where he pulls down the world down, you know, because, hey, I'm leaving the world, you know, like David is. So David the senior. So, you know, have you had any feedback at all, Vinny, from your listeners about David Rockefeller dying, or they're completely obsessed with other things?
Well, it was just like a blip on the radar, like, blip, David Rockefeller's dead, and then no more mentions. It just keeps, and the New World Order agenda just keeps on trucking, you know?
Right. Well, that's what they want. They want you to not pay attention to them. You know, infighting is what they want. Now, I believe that every 10 years, the zeitgeist changes. That is the way that the people of the world think, in a general kind of way. And I believe in 2010 or 11, we switched from the skeptical, you know, zeitgeist of, you know, 2001, you know, the 9/11 attacks, which is a lack of decency to get to the bottom of that from a reality perspective. Let's find out what had happened in objective reality, so not have reality fraud pulled over our eyes. In 2010 or 11, I believe we've entered a new zeitgeist of hyper-opinionism. That means with people all obsessed with their little cell phone, they are seeing the world completely on this little bitty screen, and their narrow-mindedness is now empowered to harden their hearts by a lot of factoids.
But that's
Trump took advantage of this to become president.
That's why they call it a cell phone.
Cell phone. Oh, that's very good. Well, the thing is that now people are not using the internet correctly, which is to have a full screen, look at all the facts, and be empowered. Instead, they're becoming more narrow-minded, and they're using these things that look official. What we used to say, store-bought. In the old days, you know, if something went to the printer and he printed a calendar and had Raquel Welch, but, you know, we'd take it seriously. There's the date, you know, 1971. You know, you take it seriously because someone has to put serious money to print the calendar. You know, there was a stovepipe to truth. In other words, if a magazine article comes out or a newspaper comes out, there was some vetting, and there are people putting money on the line. They're not going to just put BS up, right? So people had no access to make these things. So if you were just like a person who's not happy with the world, you'd make some flyers and you hand them out and sit on a street corner on a soapbox saying the world's going to end tomorrow. You didn't have that credibility. But now everybody has, with their desktop computers and their cell phones, an ability to take their nonsense and make it look store-bought. So you got Shaquille O'Neal saying the world's flat. It's like, get his big, I don't know what I can say on the radio here.
Shoes?
Yes. Put him on an airplane, have him see the curvature of the earth, and then he should say, wrong, I'm wrong. But he's getting away with putting out nonsense like this because it looks official. It looks store-bought. You know what I mean? It's official looking. And so that's what I think we are. We're in an age where you can easily cross anybody on any issue. I'm telling you, I just made a suggestion to somebody yesterday, and they were already in a pissing contest with me, like, my penis is bigger than your penis. And I said, you know, if you do that with me, you're going to lose. I've actually briefed Illuminati members, and I'll tell you who they were. You know, Secretary of the Army, Thomas White, Assistant Secretary of State, Richard Armitage, and Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, General John Keane. So I've actually briefed these people with good good ideas, expecting decency out of them. Don't know what I was thinking at the time. And they didn't do a damn thing. I find out later they're members of Bilderberg clubs. They go to the Bohemian Grove. They're Illuminati. So anyway, I'm telling this guy, you're not going to win in a pissing contest with me. But he, you know, does the block you on Facebook thing. And all I suggested to him was, you know, instead of just criticizing, you know, go ahead and do something, a work of art of your own, and tell a positive, proactive story instead of just criticizing others or analyzing others' works. So that's what I mean by the hyper-opinionated age we live in. The Rockefellers have got everybody out there, each other's throats, over the most simplest things. You don't know who you're going to cross in this hyper-opinionated age that we're in, the zeitgeist that we're in.
So I wanted to add on to that because the documentary Vaxxed is coming out in New Zealand on like April the 2nd, right? So I've been contacted and they want me to help them out and, you know, do some Vox Populi and everything like that. And you wouldn't believe the potential shitstorm of this puppy, right? Like people who want to ring up the owner of the theater or whatever and just go, no, you can't show this. It's anti-vaccine. It's everything. Or people wanting to show up and protest, or in many cases, the documentary being pulled out of film festivals and things like that based on zero evidence of any kind being brought up by these vaxxers to dispute anything that's in the film. And none of them have even bothered to watch it. Right. And so you're right. And as soon as you said that hyper opinionated, I was just like, whoa, he's onto something really big here.
Oh, it's the age we live in. And the Rockefellers put us in that age. They want us infighting because if we're fighting amongst ourselves, we're not questioning and fighting them and their rule. And they put us in this mode by, as you saw, technology, you know, march of technology that started with broadcast radio. Broadcast television, which there's no doubt in my mind that something is being piped into broadcast television, like mind control, hypnosis, actual thoughts, like don't question the status quo, don't question the social order, just like out of the John Carpenter movie, They Live. There's no doubt if some scientists with oscilloscopes took broadcast television, they could probably dissect and see that something evil is being piped in, not just low-grade, you know, hypnosis state, which is everyone agrees to that. I'm not talking about the low-level hum. I'm talking about actual subliminal messages. And you have to expect that if you want to get ahead of the threat. You've got to say they've been working at this for many years. This is in their interest to do this. So that's why when you tell people certain things, they have these mental blocks. So you say 9/11 inside job, all of a sudden danger, warning, Professor Will Robinson. They just can't handle it. You're going to wonder, that sounds like something that's put in there. And the document you could read on this is the 1954 Bilderberg document, which is called Secret Weapons for Quiet Wars. If I got that right, Quiet Wars for Secret Weapons. But anyway, in it they said, you know, World War II is over. We could build a public utopia or we could build a private one. We will build a private one. Hell with the sheeple. They obviously knew they could build a utopia for everybody, and they said, no, we're just going to build it for ourselves. And in that manual, it shows you they manipulate people by actual mathematical formulas. They can actually take out, you know, let's say toilet paper from the equation, and then they'll see how many people are going to have a desire to drink beer. I mean, they've basically taken the way sheeple behave and broken it down into a formula, and they believe that they can change the inputs and control people. And one of the things that they want to do is, you know, take away the man who stands up for truth, the man who's got the facts, and he's not going to budge no matter what. You know, you're George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life. They don't want that hero. So I write about that in James Bond Is Real, that Ian Fleming is showing you with James Bond what our role model should be. We should be like James Bond, get to the bottom of these scams, and then once we get to the bottom of the scams, defeat them. And one of the goals of the Illuminati, deep state, would be to destroy the James Bond citizen who can do that.
I would say that we're halfway there to being James Bond, because a good portion of the males in our society are already alcoholic womanizers.
Right. Well, but that was camouflaged. You know, there are several layers in James Bond's novels that Ian Fleming wrote, and he did that as camouflage so he could get his message out. He was given the job of writing James Bond to help the image, public image, of MI6 in light of the scandals where the defectors, the Cambridge Five, defected to the Soviet Union, right? McLean and all those guys. So what he was doing was working directly for MI6. But what happened is he said, okay, now I'm going to get some social commentary in there, and I'm going to get some warnings about the Illuminati, the specter of the Illuminati. And if you saw the last James Bond movie, you can see that clear, that they're making false flag events in order to fear-mong the sheeple into a surveillance state. These are all things that Ian Fleming gave Albert Cubby Broccoli and Harry Saltzman the job of making his books into James Bond movies, only on condition that they'd always have a secret message to help the people of the world. So when I say James Bond is real, you've got to look past the sex and the adventure camouflage and look at the social commentary and the warnings that are there in the books and in the movies that they are dedicated to doing. You know, so the movies were designed so that they get the warning out to a mass number of people and not get Ian Fleming killed. Now, Jim Mars, the famous writer of Crossfire about the JFK assassination, told me he suspects that Fleming was killed because when the Warren Commission was coming out, he knew John F. Kennedy personally, Ian Fleming, and he had over, you know, several billion readers of James Bond novels. And if he had said, look, this is bogus, this Warren Commission report, trying to pin it all on Oswald, who's all over the, you know, intelligence community. He was a red herring patsy, not a lone nut patsy. Alan Dulles is the guy who killed, you know, JFK. But he wanted to showboat. Alan Dulles wanted the whole world to know that he did it without him doing it by having this red herring patsy Oswald. There's more than one Oswald. Lee Oswald, there's Harvey Oswald, there's an Oswald that's like 6'3" and 225 pounds. But all these Oswalds are doing things in Mexico City and driving cars, and he's not even supposed to be able to drive a car. He's all over the place as a red herring. So you'd be continually guessing the mob did it, LBJ did it. And, you know, if you keep guessing to everybody, nobody gets to blame. Well, that was already put in place. Then LBJ goes, no, I don't think we ought to do that. I think we ought to make just a lone nut. Well, it's too late. Oswald's a red herring patsy. But anyway, Fleming could have condemned that. And it's so easy to give somebody a heart attack to kill them. And he died on the golf course, you know, Ian Fleming. So I tend to believe it's probably true. They killed him to keep him quiet and not condemn the Warren Commission.
Now, Mike, there's a little bit of a problem with your microphone. If you wouldn't mind just bringing it just a little bit beneath your chin there, a little bit lower than it was.
Any better?
Lower than it was would be better. Almost on your chin line. Yeah, there we go. That's better. Good man.
How about did what I say come through? Was it gone?
Oh, no. It was good. It was just a little bit overdriven. I wanted to get down this pike here because you're talking about the head of state being three levels below the Illuminati and the intel community right on top of there. And I can actually confirm that this is very similar in New Zealand because it came out in mainstream news here that SIS, State Intelligence Services, was surveilling every single member of parliament. And it came out in a bit of a leak that one of our Green MPs, I believe Keith Locke, had been under surveillance since he was 8 years old, and his mother took him to a communist film festival, right? And I'm just thinking, okay, all right, how did that work? There's the intelligence agencies on top of the parliament, keeping a control over them, and then the secret societies and bankers on top of them. How was it again?
Right. That's right, the bankers and then the secret societies, the guys that have this child sacrifice, kiddie porn, you know, the hoods, the naked chicks with the great tits, you know, like an Eyes Wide Shut. That's them at the very top.
They reserve all the best for themselves.
Now, you got to remember that the way that this unfolded is because we underestimate the amount of evil people in the world. The actual psychological breakdown of evil people in the world is 25, 40, 35. What that means is 25% of all people on planet Earth are born with no conscience or weak consciences. Those are called psychopaths and sociopaths. 25%. That means you get four people in your room, or let's say you're in public and you're at the gas station. One out of four is a psych sociopath. One out of four. Okay, the U.S. government, based on the U.S. Constitution, can't give you a direct quote, but in my gut reaction and, you know, analysis and thought, I'd have to say the U.S. Constitution expects 1 in 10 being a psych sociopath. That's too low. That means they're lowballing evil, and there's no safeguards in the U.S. Constitution against reality fraud. They're sweet on reality fraud. Remember the Boston Tea Party in 1773? Dressed up as Indians, throwing tea overboard. No wonder there's no safeguard against 9/11s and JFKs and big, you know, fraudulent events. The founding fathers are a little sweet on them. No, there's no inquest in the United States, public inquest on things like 9/11 or JFK Jr. being killed or anything, because you know that's a systemic flaw in the U.S. Constitution, which I think is lowballing the amount of people that are actually evil in the world. Without consciences or weak consciences, which is one in every four. Now, the next number is 40%, and those are the sheeple. Those are the people who do whatever the authority figures say. And that is proven by the Milgen experiment in 1965, where they took college kids and said, okay, some of you are going to be guards, and some of you are going to be inmates. After a few days, they had to shut the experiment down because they were putting people in a room and, you know, being given a button or, you know, a dial and told, you know, keep shocking this guy until he talks. And they found that 65% would keep shocking the guy until he's dead. Now, the guy was an actor, but it proved, you know, 25% psych sociopaths, 40% sheeple. They will just do what some authority figure in a lab coat, business suit and tie, you know, tells them what to do. So that is their power base of the Illuminati, is that they 65% of all people will do all kinds of evil, you know, throw people in ovens, you know. That leaves only 35% are the real heroes. Those are the conscience doers. Those are the people who say, gosh darn it, I don't care what you tell me to do. I am not shocking that guy. I am not throwing that guy in the oven. I am not going to this bogus war. I'm not going to do evil, you know, and there isn't enough of us.
Does there need to be? Because what was you talking about? Is there enough of us, like via a percentage, via resistance? Because I don't know about you, Ben, but I've had a look at a hell of a lot of different military tactics in history, and ultimately, if your tactics are better, you can beat a force that's much, much, much larger than your own.
Right. Well, that's my forte, is military operational art, equipment, and tactics. But the thing is that if you study, I think the best guy on this subject is Sun Tzu and not Clausewitz. He says your cause has to be legitimate for you to get the people behind you. And if your cause is not just, you're going to be hard-pressed to be as sly and clever, you know, from physical force, which is psychological operations, combat engineering, firepower, and maneuver. You'll be hard-pressed to keep winning if your cause is not just. And the example of that would be the Maurice Line. In the 1960s, France was trying to hold on to Algeria, and they were having a problem with the FMLN infiltrating across the border. They built an electronic wall, you know, fence, and had it dialed into artillery and quick reaction forces, and they sealed the border. But all it did was give them like 2 years to get a political settlement. In other words, military force can't give you victory in perpetuity forever if your cause is unjust. And so that, you know, with the Roman Legion, the Roman legions could only keep Rome together so long with the moral corruption. So I'm not a just cause, just world person, because that's a delusion that, you know, we don't have to do anything. Evil's going to get his just desserts. Well, David Rockefeller didn't get his just desserts in this life, did he?
Nope.
He probably still has Scarlett Johansson's breast in his face, you know, till he died. You know what I'm saying? So these people would say, oh, we don't have to do anything. We're just going to let, you know, karma get them. That's bogus. We have to fight for justice now. That's our damn duty.
I love that. I love that that myth. Oh, karma will do it, mate. Karma will, yeah. Really, really. Are you a good person? Yeah. Have you always been a good person? Yeah. Have you been shafted many, many times in your life despite that fact? Yes. Do you know heaps of scumbags who are incredibly rich and have never actually had a single consequence for any of their scumbaggery and are still ruling the fucking world today? Yes. Then karma's not what you think it is.
It's not working. Karma, the just world fallacy, is probably one of the things the CIA got together in their dry erase board and said, what can we feed the sheeple? Oh, just tell them that they don't have to fight any of this complicated political, military evil. They'll just tell them the karma will get them.
Brilliant! We're coming to the conclusion many, many times on this show. Brilliant, but it's evil, but it's still brilliant.
Well, there's the thing. You see, the problem is I go right back to David Rockefeller. A few days ago, he died. He is not a happy camper right now. Okay? If you don't believe in God, the lights came out, that's it. Satan didn't come through for him. Okay? Now, if you're a Christian like I am, he's very hot right now. You know? He's not doing so good. So, no matter what happened, you know, which way you think's happened, he is not winning. So, these people who think that they're in this life going to get over on the good, decent people and, you know, the naive sheeple people, are deluding themselves. They're not going to have anyone in their corner when they die. And they need to think about what's going to happen in the next life. And, of course, they're not. And that doesn't make any logical sense. So, now, I don't want to get all metaphysical on you, but I have a perfect memory. I can actually remember all the way back to when I was a baby, coming right out of my mom's womb. I remember being in the hospital bed and my father going down and going Gucci Gucci Goo to me. And I can actually remember being in my mom's womb at that moment. In other words, I don't have a direct memory of being in my mom's womb, but I remember at that moment in the hospital crib, bed, whatever, remembering what the hell was going on there. It's just darkness. So I have a perfect memory, okay, of everything. So I know that something magical happened to create me, and I know that when I die and other people die, something magical metaphysically is going to happen, and we should be concerned about it. But I mean, not concerned about it, but yeah, don't misbehave and be a jerk. But I want to get ahead of the threat, and I believe what David Rockefeller's done, besides steal all the Fort Knox gold, like in Goldfinger, he didn't do it by a heist. He did it by taking the bars and switching them with bars that were just gold plated. He also stole Germany's gold. You remember reading about that?
No.
No, yeah. Germany's gold was stored in New York City banks, and then they switched out all the gold bars. And Andrea Merkel, who's an Illuminati puppet, that witch with a B, didn't do anything. She should have said, you know, we're breaking diplomatic relations. You better damn well get all this gold. We're kicking your embassy out. No, they push Germany around. They actually fly an airplane into a mountain full of passengers when Germany tried to do something against the New World Order. You didn't hear one thing from Andrea Merkel about that. Anyway, David Rockefeller is always gaming the other side. He helped the Russians get into space by giving the job of putting the first satellite in the incompetent Navy's hands. At the end of World War II, we had the National Security Act of 1947 creating the Central Intelligence Agency, the abysmal U.S. Marine Corps and U.S. Air Force, and they're all fighting for their little, you know, cheerleading missions. And so to help the Russians get into space first, they gave the job of going into space not to von Braun and the Army. They gave it to the Navy. And the Navy botched it, and the Russians get into space. Now, he did this all throughout his life. He went to Red China and gave them technology in the 80s and told them, stop doing this communist stuff. You can just use that to control the people, but get into a hybrid economy and start making better widgets. And look what happened. Now they're full of money because they're making better widgets than we are, and they're telling people what to do by bribery. Not just military threats. They're taking over the world by, you know, buying them out. So this is something David Rockefeller did all throughout his life.
in the case of New Zealand, our Auckland City mayor, a great big front page of the paper, him wearing a Chinese cloak with a little hands clasped like this after he just got $250,000 from various anonymous donors during a Chinese fundraiser, and one of which was a signed copy of Hu Jintao's signature, the premier of China, and that sold for the big money. And it's like, dude, look, the triads run this country now, and the triads are run by the People's Liberation Army intelligence.
No, right. I wanted to talk about that. No one else is talking about it. You know, we need to talk about what's happening. Right now, during this false peace, there's economic conquest taking place. They are buying out chunks of Australia, New Zealand, and anywhere else where they can say we have an economic operation there, economic colony. And the idea is that then you just have so many chunks of terrain owned by the Chinese to get to the point where it's like, you know, in the 7th century, the Chinese monk Wen Fao Hu got into a junk and sailed the seven seas, and oh, he landed there first. You know, they can create this fictional narrative. Before long, they're saying Australia and New Zealand belongs to them. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is the Rockefellers owe a lot of money to the Chinese. What they want with the Pacific Pivot is not to contain China. They want China to sink one of our tin can ships, which are under 10,000 tons, which didn't even survive in World War II. They want one of our ships to get blown up by the Chinese, and then all the debts that the Illuminati owe China will be erased. They say, oop, we're at war. Debts canceled. That's what the Pacific Pivot is all about. It has nothing to do with defending you nice people. I love you people in New Zealand and Australia. Beautiful, nice people, and the other Asian people in the world in the South China Sea. We're not trying to do that.
Well,
they're trying to find an excuse to cancel the debt.
Yeah, 35% of us are real nice people anyway, but go ahead.
Right, so the idea is to put these deliberately weak military forces patrolling the South China Sea, you know, put 2,000 gyrenes that are tankless, they're pedestrian, they go around, you know, doing hand-to-hand combat with each other. I mean, that really is going to intimidate a nation or a whole region that specializes in martial arts. Not. They want somebody to kill some Americans, and then they'll cancel the debt and have a war. Now, the war that they want is obviously, like I said, I got away from my main goals. The main goals of the Illuminati, and you can bank on them, destroy the individual who can make a difference, you know, your James Bond citizens, your George Baileys. Two, make money, max profits. Most people can understand that. Got it. Three is to depopulate the world. There are 7 billion people in the world. They like 6 billion of us to go away. And the only way it's going to happen, unfortunately, because these things that they've created, cancer, unsafe automobiles, all of these things are not doing it well enough. America is now the number 3 country in the world, the populated country in the world behind China and India. Now that should tell you what they're going to do. They're going to let India keep making better widgets. And if that widget production starts threatening the income of China, China's going to say, you know, we're going to stage a false flag here, and then we're going to turn you into a nuclear parking lot. So India needs to get its act together, because if there's a nuclear war between India and China, 2 billion people just like that are going to go away. That's what the Illuminati want. So that's why I'm worried that David Rockefeller has these contingency plans, that on his death we're going to move up Operation toilet paper, whatever he wants to call India. You know, India doesn't use toilet paper. You know, whatever he's going to call the project, you know, between India and China to get a nuclear war between them, or India and Pakistan, because they've got to kill billions of people, and, you know, it ain't working, you know. Their scams are not killing enough people fast enough.
Now, John Pilger's made a documentary called The Coming War on China, and the map he shows us of China's geopolitical position, like just right there on the globe, and the map of the U.S. bases that completely encircle it like a hangman's noose. And it says that what's going to happen, or at least the nuclear experts have said, that if a war between China and the US kicks off, if they use nukes, the amount of dust that gets put into the atmosphere from the first couple of impacts and so on and so forth will actually block out the sunlight, and we wouldn't be able to grow crops for approximately 3 years. And it would be freezing temperatures every night, right? That's what they call
nuclear winter. Right, an ecological disaster that they don't know the enormity, the scale, the order of magnitude that could happen to the Earth. You know, the fragile way the Earth is, you know, keeping its balance at all times. You know, turning all the time so it's not unevenly heated. The weather patterns to you know, all that, you know, equilibrium stuff will be disrupted, right? Mm. So, but the idea is that they, the elites, will ride it out. Now, this is the part where it gets exotic, and people don't want to go there, but, I mean, we have to go there. We can't just say that we're going to have a nuclear 9/11, and that's the next thing that they're going to fearmong. We've got to think ahead. And, you know, one of David Rockefeller's brothers, Lawrence Rockefeller, was big into the UFO ET disclosure thing. So there's a soft disclosure where some guy says, guess what, God is dead. We've been talking to ETs all this time, which President Trump can say, bull, you know what, I didn't authorize that. Or there's the hard disclosure where a UFO lands on the White House lawn, or they actually do the Independence Day where they're hovering over a city, and you've got to say, well, we can't ignore this. We have human power, human-created anti-gravity craft that can mimic supposedly extraterrestrials coming to visit us rudely. So if that's the game plan, then that could be underway right now as we speak, you know, upon David's death. Now, the idea then would be, you know, we're scared. Everyone's got to hold hands like Independence Day and fight these guys and then, you know, drop national sovereignty and have a one-world government. So that's the last goal of the Illuminati. I remember I shared the four goals. The last goal is everybody on the same sheet of music, and I call that the metaphysical verdict. What it is when David Rockefeller dies, let's say he meets the Lord, and the Lord says, what the hell were you doing? And he goes, I was just doing what everyone else is doing. The whole world's behind me. We're all in this one world government thing, and we're thumbing our nose at you, you know, like the Tower of Babel. And, you know, you can't kill us all. I know you love some of us, those Bible bangers you probably like. So that's what they're hoping for, is their final fire insurance, is the whole world is in a one world government in opposition, you know, to God or, you know, decency. And so you got the metaphysical verdict. So you can count on these major goals. And I've been telling people this actually since 2011, and it came true. I mean, everything that Obama did, he's Rothschild Illuminati tree hugger with a little taint of a little warmonging to keep the Rockefeller Illuminati in play. It's all come through, and I can anticipate what these guys are going to do because I know their agenda, which I've just shared with you and your listeners right now. They're, you know, destroy the individual, max profits, thin the herd, get everybody on the same sheet of music, okay? And you've got these goals. You can count on it. And then, but I don't understand. I voted for Paul Ryan. He's turning into be a total dirtbag. He's a rhino. He's a Republican name only. No, he's an Illuminati, secret society, deep state creep who has a right-wing form of the New World Order that he pushes. Versus, you know, Hillary Clinton is a left-wing creep who pushes a left-wing form, you know, that the left-wing sheeple, you know, type B personality people adore. But, you know, a type A personality stoic is going to want some guy who's going to say, earn your own keep, doggone it, you know, earn your own job, make your own job. But right now in the United States, walk-in businesses are dying. So whereas Red China has capitalism and communism hybrid, here in the United States, we have anti-capitalism. There's no capital. You can't get money to start a business. And the rent, the bankers are charging too much rent. I know I used to run a gun range. And it was impossible to get enough people to shoot in a day to pay the rent. Mm. And so, you know, walk-in businesses are dying in the United States, and that's what the Illuminati want. They want to squeeze us out of the middle class that has any time to fight their rule, turn us all into low-class slaves.
Well, if that was the goal, I reckon it's a really brilliant idea that they hired the man to save the economy who managed to bankrupt a casino.
Like, how do you even do that?
We just gotta hope that his instincts will override what they're feeding him. But right now, as you know, he's got right-wing Rockefeller Illuminati people on his staff, you know, in his cabinet. And that was a fatal mistake JFK made. He thought that I could have some of these guys like McGeorge Bundy in my cabinet, who's an Illuminati skull and bones guy, and it's going to be okay. I'm going to leave Alan Dulles in charge of the CIA, even though I told him I'm going to fire him for the Bay of Pigs fiasco, which was a setup. You know, it was deliberately designed to fail. If you wanted to do the Bay of Pigs right, you take the Isle of Palms. It's an island south of Cuba. That could have been defended by a brigade. You know, you talk about military tactics and not having, and I talked about not having the legitimacy. Well, if you have an island and you have a 3-to-1 advantage in defense and you're really good, you could hold that island indefinitely. You know, we've got, you know, Guantanamo Bay, right? A chunk of Cuba. But that would have been a defendable plan. In other words, no popular uprising. If the Brigade 2506 had taken the Isle of Palms, they'd still have the Isle of Palms today. But no, they wanted to try to land and have this revolt against Castro when not enough people realized he was a bad guy. You know what I mean? It was premature. It was designed to ruin Kennedy. Anyway, he didn't fire Dulles for that. He says, "Oh, just stay there, you know, run the CIA, and we'll retire you at the end of the year." Dulles had a whole year to start the conspiracy to kill JFK. And he's the guy who started it and directed it. Talbot, in his book, The Devil's Chessboard, proves it. And what was ex-CIA Director Dulles doing in the CIA Operations Center on November 22nd, 1963? "Hey, guys, I'm done playing golf. Let me just stroll in here because Kennedy's, you know, making a motorcade through Dallas, Texas." I mean, it's illogical. You don't just come in there just routinely and just say, "Hey, I'm just here waiting for something possibly to happen." No, he set it all up. When you fire people, it's mean, but you get them out of the building. John F. Kennedy didn't do that. He did not dispose of Dulles immediately, did not disband the CIA. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. And Trump had better watch his 6 o'clock.
Now, this idea behind destroying the world and then retreating to massive underground bases and cities that are connected by these super high-speed rails and things like that, I just thought to myself, you know, that seems like one of the most retarded ideas ever. And they're like, "Well, why do you say that, Vinny?" Well, dig this. You've just helped to destroy the world. First of all, not a very great idea. But your plan to escape its destruction is to go underground in the dark.
Yeah, that's one of them.
With the worst pedophiles, murderers, and psychopaths that the world has ever known, and stay there for a long period of time with them. Does this sound like a good idea? No.
No, but that's only one part of the plan. Again, we have to go there. Why have UFOs gotten bigger over time? You know, 1945, the end of World War II, they're very crude. You know, Maury Island incident, they got slag coming out of the UFOs, you know, radiation, like a nuclear reactor is powering them. It's clunky. But you look at the Phoenix Lights, the UFOs are now massive. Now, from a military perspective, size has no benefit. If you're trying to maneuver, you know, fight somebody, you know, go into space, you know, the X-15 here, okay, size doesn't help you. The only time size helps you is if you're in a transport function. So basically, the UFOs, the anti-gravity craft, also will take the elites off planet during the crisis, whether, you know, extinction level event, you know, the fake UFO invasion, the fake, you know, meteor coming. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that you're right. There is the deep underground military base phenomena in the continuity of government. There's no doubt about that. I've talked to one of the continuity of government soldiers. You know, when I was at Fort Bragg, I got on the phone from another guy, you know, and this is all internal, you know, before I was even into any of this. See, I'm a military reformer. I just want to make the military more effective. And one of my soldiers said, "Hey, you know, you better talk to this guy." You know, so he got him on the phone, got me on the phone, and he's part of it. He's one of the guards that are going to keep the sheeple out of the entrance of the continuity of government, you know, deep underground military bases. So that's been verified that it's true. And these guys are going to have, you know, I don't know. I guess I got to make a guess. I'd say 90-10. 90% of the elite are going to be in deep underground military bases, and then 10% are going to fly in the anti-gravity craft to, you know, moon bases. You have to assume that if we have anti-gravity craft, we have bases on the moon. Because it's not that hard. Once you get out of the Earth's, you know, first 100,000 feet, which is the hardest part of space travel, the first 100,000 feet in the atmosphere and the gravity. Once you're past that, it's a cakewalk. You just got to, you know, have some propulsion behind you, which a lot of people don't know. Even I didn't know. I've been doing research on it because, you know, the space program scam that, you know, we could have a nuclear reactor heating up hydrogen in space, and our rockets will go twice as fast, you know, 50,000 miles an hour instead of 25,000. That means we get to the moon in half the time and Mars, not just 9 months, you know, in suspended animation. And you remember in the suspended animation movies, one of the guys or gals, the machine doesn't work and she's like a corpse. It's like a submarine movie. There's always got to have a close the hatch scene. But in science fiction, deep space travel, there's always the suspended animation scene where it doesn't work. But, you know, no, we're talking about a few weeks, you're in Mars. Okay, just by using nuclear propulsion. And like I said, you know, if we had an honest space program, the Army would have been in charge of the space program like the Chinese Air Force is in charge of the space program. Here's Von Braun's, you know, three-stage ferry rocket. Notice he has an aerospace plane in 1955 that reenters at a shallow altitude, which is much safer than a capsule. So if you saw the Apollo 13 mission, you know, on the Ron Howard movie, they almost skipped off into space, you know, with the capsules. And that's what NASA says they want to do now with the Orion, go back to a capsule, which is nonsense. You know, the aerospace plane. In fact, we could have put a man into space before the Russians if we had taken the X-15 here and put it on a booster. It's not the scale here, but, you know, we could have been in space first. But the Illuminati don't want us, didn't want us in space first. They wanted the Russians built up as a big boogeyman. And they're playing these games all the time. So probably most of your audience knows that the CIA created ISIS as they created Al-Qaeda, and the idea is to be a magnet for all these nihilist, you know, moon god worshippers. You've got nothing to live for, but hey, if you come down here, you'll be a rock star, and you'll get 13 virgins in the next life. Just come and be our whack-a-mole. You know, we're going to play whack-a-mole with our fighter bombers.
Yeah, you know, you're completely uneducated, easily manipulated idiot that we can use as cannon fodder, which will scare the hell out of the white Christian people so that we can justify any amount of wars and any amount of invasions and any amount of drug trafficking.
Right. Now, this is all part of military malpractice. You see, I'm coming down from the military practice, military art, and the U.S. military doesn't value the battle against the Earth. There's always two battles to win in war. The battle against the Earth, because if you can't defeat the Earth, you have no military power left to fight anyone else. And then there's the battle against man. Well, the U.S. military doesn't give a damn about the battle against the Earth. So you don't see anybody saying, look, we're in Afghanistan. The Pashtuns are causing the trouble. We need to keep these guys out of Afghanistan. You circle the whole country with a sensor security fence like the Maurice Line, the Mannerheim Line. You have quick reaction forces, you have dialed in artillery, you have observation attack planes circling overhead, you seal the border. And then you go to the Pashtun and say, you're going to behave, and you'll be part of Afghanistan, or we're going to wall you out. And you can have your own little Pashtunistan, and everybody's going to be taking pot shots at you, you know, with your drug crops that you're growing, you know. You see what I'm trying to say? That's the way the Roman legion, the Roman general, would handle these problems. If you get like a space time travel machine, you bring back Julius Caesar and say, seal the border. Seal the Syrian-Iraqi border, and they would. They'd get all their little Roman soldiers, and they'd build the wall. Done. They got no place to run. They're surrounded by the wall, and then you kill everybody in the inside who doesn't want to behave. That's when you smother conflicts and end them. You don't hear any of this talk in the U.S. military because they're all egomaniacs. They want to go around and shoot people. Because it's very ego gratifying, you know, or if they're a fighter bomber pilot, whack-a-mole. That's not mature adult military sound practice. If adults, like Sun Tzu says, what matters in war is victory, not prolonged operations, however brilliantly executed. So Sun Tzu is saying, watch out for this, you know, racket. War is a racket, Smedley Butter. Well, all of life is a racket. I wrote a book on that, too. You can see it online, Racket Theory. And you'll see that it's not just war if it's a racket. Rackets are in all walks of life. They don't want to solve cancer. They don't want to solve disease because there's more money in keeping the problem in play. That's where your 35%ers have to say, no, 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 no. We're tired of being wallowing in these problems. Let's nick these problems in the bud, and let's get our ass over in the space and do something really exciting. Okay? I mean, in other words, we've played this chapter before, this whole World War II thing. I mean, that's what I'd say. You know, if I was at an Illuminati meeting, I'd say, haven't we done this before?
Well, can I make a point there?
World War thing?
Because that was the thing. I just thought about that just before the show today. I was like, why do we always keep bringing up World War II as an example of evil versus good or something like that? It's because in World War I, nobody even knew why anybody was fighting, and there was no clear good guy and there was no clear bad guy. And every war subsequent after the after World War II was started off by a false flag operation and had no reason for happening anyway. So the only war in all of history that anybody can even remember being taught about that had any legitimacy whatsoever was World War II. Now, that was like, what, 60 years ago? And there's been a war going on every single day since then? And so that's why it's the only example. It's the go-to example. We were the good guys. We were real bad guys.
Just war. Huh? Yeah, Stutz Terkel wrote a book on that, The Just War, I think it was. But the thing is about World War II was they wanted, you know, the communists, which were created by the Rothschild Illuminati, to fight the Germans and to destruction. And we in the West were to stay out of it and just build armaments. Something happened, and I believe that supernatural evil got involved and taught, you know, Neville Chamberlain. It got through Neville Chamberlain's head that you're I hope I can say this word on the radio here, pussy. MI5 told him he was a pussy, and he said, no, with this, we're going to defend Poland. The British had no way of defending Poland. And that's what caused Germany to go in the other direction, which I don't know if I'm doing right with the camera here. They were going east to meet the Russians, as the plan A was, and I write about this in James Bond Israel, but instead, you got Neville Chamberlain saying, we're going to stop you in Poland. And, of course, that turned Hitler around, and he went west and started the rest of World War II. And then what happened was there's unintended consequences. People like Ian Fleming, James Gavin, Matthew Ridgway, these decent men, 35%ers, got in charge. And we got very good at war. You know, James Gavin, Ian Fleming came up all these great ways to win the war, and the war was brought to a close faster than the Nazis could get out. You know, a lot of them didn't get out, but a lot of them did. But they want, obviously, all of them to get out. They didn't want to lose at all. But you see, the point is, at the end of the war, 1945, they said, we must never let decent people run the war effort. So the West has been in a perpetual war state since 1945. And here in the United States, with National Security Act of 1947, we created the CIA, treasonous, dirty tricks outfit, instigating wars, divided the services with the Marine Corps and the Army trying to win wars by maneuver, and you got the Air Force and the Navy trying to win wars by firepower, and it's delusional, instead of having a harmonious, war-smothering adult philosophy. We've been going overseas and bleeding and causing wars to happen and to continue and prolong as per the deep state's wishes. Now, and so I'm not giving you this as a hypothetical. I have briefed top-level Illuminati people, you know, the Secretary of the Army, the Assistant Secretary of State Armitage, and the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, General Keane, about things that will win wars, and they will not do them. In other words, you back them into a logical corner and say, this costs not much money. We can do it very cheaply. We can do it quickly. We'll save lives. Your soldiers, You used to be a Leavenworth ACR guy, Secretary White. Okay, General Keane, you used to be in the 101st, screaming Eagles, okay? Don't you have any affinity, love for your men? Nope. Just keep sending them down the roads in Humvees, wheeled vehicles, and boom. Keeps the American people in a rage, keeps profits up, keeps the war going.
Now, Mike, unfortunately, that's we've come to the end of our show together. Now, I heard a quote on recent film USS Indianapolis. What was it? War is good for business, and business is good for America.
Right. The problem is that in Indianapolis, they had a seaplane. They had seaplanes in World War II, and that Navy seaplane guy landed, and he saved those guys. If that seaplane lieutenant hadn't broke orders and landed his plane and got those men out of the water, nobody would have survived. 880 men went in the water. Only 321 got out.
And
they were ate by sharks. Your skin peeled.
We're out. We're out of the show now.
Practical narcotics.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does. Well, they never sent so hung up or cut off their guests.
Well, that's not fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgotten.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead.
So wake me up when it's all over.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Because I'm happy. Clap now if you know what happiness is to you.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear for death.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because the only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes. And my very special guests joining us today are Ralph Fusatola and Rima Labo. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much, Vinny. I would first, before we begin anything else, I have to know why you're wearing a dress shirt and a tie. My whole world has become disoriented and disconnected. The cognitive dissonance is overwhelming.
Well, I'm a lover of irony, and I call these things urban camouflage, because you see, I've got a collar around my neck, cuffs around my wrists, and I'm wearing a leash. All right, so that...
You look good, Vinny. You look good.
Yeah, you look good.
Well, that's the thing. I like to pretend that I'm some kind of media yuppie scumbag douche, or at least put that impression across initially before people hear me speak.
You're not?
No, unfortunately. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to do fundraising so much. I'd just
there's that. Pay. There's that. Yeah.
Well, one can only hope. Now, actually, I'd probably get fired pretty freaking quickly if I was ever employed by a mainstream media news organization.
Mm. Oh, I think all three of us share that distinction.
Yeah. Well,
in fact, one of my acquaintances or friends, Judge Napolitano, recently got thrown off of Fox News, and now apparently he's back on again when it was discovered that, in fact, he was right. There's actually a member of the British spy apparatus who has an office at the NSA headquarters, and because he's allowed to spy on Americans while the NSA is allowed to spy on Brits, they exchange information so that they're not violating their own laws. How nice. So once that was revealed, apparently I just got back on the air because he had been telling the truth all along.
And I thought I was a lover of irony.
That is really extraordinary because the lies that are told continually by the people that we employ, and by the people that employ the people that we employ, et cetera, are so egregious. And here is someone who is knocked off for telling the truth on, for God's sakes, Fox News. Now, irony, Vinny, your shirt and your tie are well deserved tonight.
You know, just love that. Somebody got fired off Fox News for telling the truth. Didn't see that coming.
It's always fun being on this program, I have to say. It's great.
You know, hey, look, things couldn't get any worse. Now, I wanted to talk about there was a number of things we wanted to talk about. In fact, Vaxxed, the new documentary, is coming out. And, in fact, we are having the premiere in Auckland on Sunday. And I'm going to be going
Excellent.
To that. Just got a couple of tickets. Going to be taking my wife and taking my cameras and all of that kind of thing. There's going to be a big Q&A afterwards. And I recall, Rima, you were talking to me once upon a time about nalgalays, all right, which many people think goes on your Thanksgiving turkey. But it's actually a vaccine additive that is not that great for you.
If Monsanto or Bayer or Syngenta or Pfizer or ConAgra help to raise your Thanksgiving turkey, perhaps it is on your Thanksgiving turkey. Let's talk about what nalgalase is. Viruses have ways of inactivating the immune system. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to pierce cells, introduce their DNA into the cells, capture the DNA replicating mechanism of that cell, and force the cell to replicate themselves rather than do the regular business of the cell. And one of the ways that viruses do that is by short-circuiting the function of the immune system completely with something called nalgalase. It's an enzyme that certain viruses produce in order to help them with their little nefarious viral plans of capturing our apparatus and forcing it to reproduce them. It's kind of an alien invasion kind of deal that viruses do on a regular basis. Now,
that sounds like an autoimmune disease just waiting to happen.
Well, it is. It's many things. One of the things that also involves nalgalase, one of the few times that the human being produces nalgalase, is cancer cells. They, too, have to evade the surveillance and search and destroy mission of the immune system in order to propagate and reproduce. So nalgalase is produced by a great many cancer types in order to turn off the immune system surveillance, because ordinarily the immune system would find a cancer cell and say, die. It would kill that cancer cell, and that would be the end of that. But with nalgalase being produced, the interface of vitamin D and the switch that is turned on in the presence of the vitamin D transporter protein, GCMAF, that whole switch is short-circuited. Now, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, who was a very, very fine doctor and a very fine researcher, got curious. He said, autistic kids with no cancer and no known viral problems have very high levels of nalgalase. Gosh, I wonder how that happened. Gosh, I wonder if somehow the brain is producing nalgalase or somehow something else is producing nalgalase. And furthermore, he said, I wonder what would happen if I gave them GCMAF, which would jump over that blockage caused by nalgalase and restart the immune system. Huh. And what happened was that 85 to 95% of the kids that he treated, by just giving them an ordinary molecule that is involved in the K cascade of events that starts the immune system working, 85 to 95% of those kids, bingo, stopped being autistic. And he said, I wonder what would happen if we went looking for the source of that nagylase. And ultimately the answer is, well, what would happen, Dr. Bradstreet, is you'll be declared to have suicided yourself with a rifle shot, two rifle shots to your own chest, and after being killed by your alleged own suicidal rifle shots, you would then drag yourself into the river, proving that you really wanted to die. What happened is that Dr. Jeff Bradstreet was murdered for his investigation, because what he found was that nagylase was in vaccines. Vaccines cause autism. No question about that. You don't need the CDC to tell you that.
CDC documents and the studies into the connection between autism and all of that found those, and that's why they destroyed those documents, or at least the majority of them, until we had a wonderful whistleblower called Dr. Thompson, who actually leaked those out. Now, New Zealand media actually did a bit of a story on this vaxxed movie coming here, and I know Melanie, the woman who did the interview, and I know that she's very honest, but I also know that she likes keeping her job. So there's certain elements of the documentary which she didn't mention, you know, for example, the part where they give two qualified doctors the documents to read through and then make their own conclusions, and then they both become anti-vaccine right away. And the other parts of it was never talking about the express intention of indeed creating this massive, massive crisis for people. Because let's not forget, as soon as one new vaccine, just one new vaccine, is added to the schedule in the United States, and currently there's like 50-odd or whatever, that's an extra $3 billion per year in the drug company who manufactures it pocket.
And whoever owns the patent gets a chunk of that, and 50 of those vaccine patents are owned by the U.S. government itself. But before we get on to the vaccines, let's back up a step to nagylase and what it does to help viruses get into our cells to reproduce. There is something that can counter that to a certain degree.
There is
a nutrient that supports normal cell membrane integrity.
And wait, let me interrupt you. How do we know this? One of the best ways we know this is through research that was conducted by the United States Department of Defense, Division of Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, on the nutrient that Ralph is going to talk about, looking specifically at hemorrhagic viruses like Ebola and Tacarib. It was declassified in 2009. So this wasn't done by somebody's aunt on the sidewalk outside the police station down the block. Okay? Go ahead, Ralph. Although somebody's aunt may do very good research, this was done by the U.S. government and declassified by them. Go ahead, Ralph.
It's actually done on behalf of the government by some scientists in a university, I think, in Minnesota. But this particular nutrient, they tested it at three strengths, and they tested it in petri dishes with living cells and various hemorrhagic viruses. And at all three strengths, it had a strong ability to support the cell's normal membrane, the normal integrity of the cell membrane. That is, the virus could not pierce membrane in order to replicate. And what was that particular nutrient? It was, of course, nanosilver.
Nanosilver, but it was indeed the lowest level of the nanosilver. They tested 10 parts per million, they tested 50 parts per million, and intermediate, they tested 25 parts per million. It was the 10 part per million solution, which happens to be the one that we make available, and it's the very, very same silver, that was the most effective. I'm sorry, Ralph, I spoke over you. Please go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I was going to say that is indeed the Dr. Rima recommends the silver solution, and it's available, folks. You can go to Dr. Rima recommends, that's DrRima recommends.com, and you'll be able to get the silver. You'll have to pay for it by check because, of course, the powers that be in this world of privatized tyranny do not want us to let you use debit and credit cards to buy your silver. And that's a very, very important lesson. Right now, what we're watching around the world is what I call the privatization of tyranny. In the United States, for example, when the Centers for Disease Control, so-called, recommends a new vaccine, and it does it through a certain set of committees that are set up. These are committees of scientists. And unfortunately, because all of the scientists are themselves so deeply involved in the vaccine business that every single one of them seems to have a conflict of interest, that they've changed the rules and the conflicts of interest no longer stop people from voting. So these committees that are made up of self-interested drug pushers approve the vaccines, and then these approved vaccines are taken up by local governments, by hospitals, by universities, and turned into mandates. In Australia, the mandates are being enforced through depriving people of financial benefits, and in California, they're being enforced by telling children they can't go to school if they haven't been vaccinated. Other parts of the world, they're being enforced through other private means. The same exact process of vaccine enforcement is being used to control people's financial activities through things like Operation Choke Point, which was an extra legal operation by the U.S. government where it was using banks and credit card companies to prevent people who the government didn't like from being able to engage in financial activities, such as, of course, Dr. Reba. And we see this happening in the area of censorship, where government-created corporations such as Google and Facebook have become the chief instruments of censorship. So it's the privatization of tyranny that we're watching. And the way people can get around that and fight back is to become aware of it.
If you're not aware of the tyranny, you're not going to be able to stop it.
Ralph, we lost you. Is to become aware of it and what?
Become aware of it and then take steps. For example, you know, instead of using a credit card to buy your nano silver, you're going to have to use a check.
Now, let's talk about that a little. Let's talk about that a little. We go online, all of us, and we buy whatever we want through PayPal or credit cards, and we think that that's going to continue forever. Well, it will if you're buying what the governments want you to buy. But if you're buying something like nano silver, here's what happened to us. We make available this nutrient that supports your immune system. So the manufactured plagues, and you will probably remember that the United States government has multiple patents on the genetically engineered version of Ebola. And by the way, I got an email from Sierra Leone's lady who said, "The people of Sierra Leone still love you and thank you for saving their lives with nano silver." When we sent 200 bottles there, we saved 500 people's lives. And then the World Health Organization said that if the government of Sierra Leone bought any nano silver beyond what had been donated to them, then they would lose all of their aid. And that is incredibly important in the African countries. They would lose all of their aid. So they were forced to not cure their people of malaria, of dengue, of tuberculosis, of Ebola, of the other viruses and bacteria and parasites, because that would not be in accord with the globalist plan, now would it? Anyway.
By the way, that's directly contrary to a declaration by the very same WHO that said in the emergency conditions of the Ebola pandemic, it was okay to use unproven and untried remedies. But then when we tried to do that,
of course. Now,
well, no. You missed out the lingo there. You're allowed to use unproved and unproven remedies. Yours was both proved and proven, so it was disqualified.
That's right. We blew it. We had a proven, successful remedy that was based in science, and the FDA came at us and said, No. We're sending you a warning letter because by revealing the science that supports your position, you have turned nanosilver from a nutrient to a drug. And by turning it into a drug, it's an unapproved drug, and therefore you are guilty of criminal acts because it is a crime to recommend, market, or produce an unapproved drug in the United States. And we just said you turned it into an unapproved drug. So you're a bad person. And then the New York Times and the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune and all the television stations by name named me as a quack because I was saying that you could cure Ebola when I didn't say that at all. What I said is that this science said that there's no Ebola disease because the Ebola virus can't do its dirty work in the presence of this nanosilver. Wouldn't you like to have some? Whoa, they went nutso on me. So I must have been doing...
back off, though, when we explained to them the science, which was that the nanosilver supported normal cell membrane integrity. Nothing about treating a disease. Nothing about, the illegal word cure. It's just a nutrient that supports immune systems. But why is that important? Well, it's because something like an Ebola pandemic can only take hold in a immune system suppressed population. And when you support the immune system through natural means, you can't create the pandemic in the first place.
Right. Now let's go back to Nagalase. If that's okay.
Can I stop you just there? Because there was two things.
Of course you can.
The one thing that's not being covered, I think, in a lot, maybe for good reason, is what intention autism and all of these really bad vaccines and so on and so forth are actually putting out of. They acknowledge, oh, there's a financial incentive and so on and so forth. But people don't get that because they don't understand psychopathy, how, you know, somebody without a conscience could easily do that without even a second thought about it whatsoever. But the second part of it is, what's the actual intention? What is the unintended side effects that are actually the intended side effects?
On September 11th, 2013, the Natural Solutions Foundation. Vinny, I don't know if we mentioned that Ralph and I are the two trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation and that our website is drrimatruthreports.com, D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. And we'd like you to go there and put your name in, and when you get your thank you email, you will get a download link for an amazing book written by our sadly now deceased president, my husband, and Ralph's dear friend, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III. It's a very important book. Meanwhile, please go to drrimatruthreports.com. So what we did on September 11th, 9/11, 2013, was run a webinar called Autism, an Inside Job. Autism is being created. The vaccines are being tuned to create high-functioning autistic workers for the globalists. And if you read the first three chapters of Brave New World, published in 1932 by Aldous Huxley, a member of the Fabian Socialists who laid all this out at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century, you will see precisely what the intention is. So the idea is to have as many autistic technicians as possible. They can be paid for pennies on the dollar because they're disabled. They can be interchanged and discarded because they don't have the social skills to combine, form a union, a revolution. They are interchangeable, disposable. They tend to be infertile. They have short lives. They love repetitive tasks. They follow orders, and they make no trouble. This was articulated by a member of the British House of Parliament's Lord Larry Friend, who said that autistic workers are the perfect workers for the reasons that I've just mentioned. And then we see that Vodafone and Microsoft and SAP, and a number of other mega corporations are fighting for the available autistic workers, fighting to hire them because of the things that I've talked about. We need more autistic workers. The other thing is that the downstream market following vaccination, including the services and drugs and so on required by autistic individuals, has now eclipsed cancer alone. Cancer is only one part of the downstream market, which previously was the most productive, financially productive disease ever encountered by humankind. You give people vaccines over and over and over and over. You give them Nalgalase. You give them glyphosate in those vaccines. We have found that vaccines from around the world actually have added glyphosate, which damages the blood-brain barrier in the presence of aluminum, which is also in the vaccines. And now you make more autistic people and more neurologically and more immunologically damaged people, more people with autoimmune and inflammatory disease and processes. And yes, that's so good for business. And then they die. So it's financial success for the pharmaceutical industry and it's depopulation for the pharmaceutical industry controllers who are the globalists. Other than that, I don't know what they're for.
Oh God. Something looks after me. Like, I used to look after autistic boys myself, and I see what it does to the parents. All right, the parents aren't autistic, but their child is, and every single dream, every single hope that they ever had for them about that, about going to see them play sport on a Saturday, seeing them get married, or I even hope to have grandchildren, it's gone, and they're now stuck with this kid who can't even communicate with them, who acts like they're not even there, right? And right. It was so painful for me just to see the parents going through that I couldn't continue to keep doing that job. And I was really good at that job. I was really helping these boys, you know. Their behaviors were starting to change because of me. But because it was such a depressing scenario, I couldn't stay in it. But guess what? I had a choice. The parents don't. They're still stuck in that situation. And now they've got somebody who's inferior to me looking after their child instead, right? It's like, oh my God, there's no upside to this.
There is no upside to it, except...
Dr. Rima has been working on an ebook specifically about the problem of addressing autism. You know, we're not going to give up on these children. We're not going to allow the globalists to create their Delta worker class without a fight.
But there is something else, and that book was almost finished when General Burt became ill and he went into hospital, and it's been a long and terrible saga. And unfortunately, he was killed not by his cardiovascular disease, not by the induced kidney disease, not by the other conditions. He was killed by lack of informed consent because I and his doctor could not get intravenous vitamin C into him because it's not in the formulary, because allopathic medicine is determined not to cure anyone, regardless of height. And so he died because of what he said presciently several months before. He said, informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century, and the lack of informed consent, and we took We went to court. We did everything we could do and more. The lack of informed consent killed not only my beloved and a leader in the health freedom movement and a hero, but a human being, just as it's killing your human beings, just as the lack of informed consent is creating these autistic people, just as compulsory vaccination is creating the diseases and the disasters of which you speak and many, many others, and it must not happen. And we have the way to stop it from happening, by God. And Ralph will tell you what it is because he figured it out, because he's astonishingly brilliant.
Oh, my gosh. It's very simple. When she mentioned informed consent, when General Byrd said informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century, he was talking about the right to say no. He was talking about a right that our parents, my parents, the greatest generation, got for us in World War II. One of the great outcomes, you know, wars have consequences, right? And one of the great outcomes of World War II was enshrining in international law the right to informed consent. And that happened because a bunch of Nazi doctors were put on trial for crimes against humanity because they were engaging in experimentation and medical practices on people without their informed consent. So the law of the world is now, and has been for a long time, that it is a crime to deny people their right of informed consent. It is, for example, and it's not, yeah, there we go, and it's not just a crime to deny them their informed consent, but it violates medical ethics. And it is, when a doctor engages in a medical intervention without informed consent, that doctor is engaging in a trespass and is liable in damages. Famous
or case or in the not only without informed consent, but in violation of the expressed informed consent to refuse the treatment.
She's holding up that express informed consent. That is our little advanced vaccine directive card. Just like a diabetic might carry a card that says, I am a diabetic. Or someone might carry a card that says, I am allergic to penicillin. Or we know some Seventh-day Adventists who carry cards that say, I refuse all blood transfusions. The same way, that little gold card allows you to say, I refuse all vaccines. And if you vaccinate me against my will, you're violating my rights, and I can sue you for the trespass.
Sue you personally. Sue your hospital. Whereas if the vaccine that you give me causes damages, I cannot sue you or the company or the hospital because of the indemnity that Congress gave to these companies. If you violate my informed consent, that is a personal crime and an institutional crime, and I will be a very, very rich woman.
I want
to say something. Vinny, I think you live in a foreign country where they talk funny, right?
Well, one can only hope.
One can only hope, indeed, indeed. Now, this stratagem that we're talking about is good not only in the United States, but in 126 countries around the world, including your foreign country where they talk funny, and 125 other foreign countries, because as long as a country is a signatory and has ratified the international law known as the Geneva Convention, because treaties are legal agreements that supersede the law of the country, then this is valid in your country. And you whip it out and you share it with your kids' school, with your employer, with the military, with whomever, and you are now asserting your right in a way that is legally binding, and they hope you never figure it out. Well, we figured it out.
This was something. then informed consent.
Exactly. I believe that it would be, don't you, Ralph?
No question about it. Look, an advanced vaccine directive is just like any other advanced medical directive. Just like you might say, sign a document that says, I don't want to be resuscitated, or I do want to be resuscitated. And they have to honor that directive. It's not just a law from 1914. It's not just a law from 1945. In the United States, as recently as 2013, there was a case in which the Supreme Court said, we have never wavered from our commitment to the proposition that you have a privacy interest in preventing a government agent from piercing the skin. You have a right to stop the government at your skin, and you have a right to stop the government's agents, and you have a right to stop those private agents that have been authorized by the government to do things like invade your skin. So it's the privatization of tyranny does not apply to informed consent. That way is there. It's a universal right. And when, for example, in California, Governor Jerry Brownshirt signed that law that said you must choose between being vaccine-free and having a free public education for your child, which the state constitution guarantees to every child, what they were doing was creating what we call in the United States an unconstitutional condition. They are conditioning a benefit or a right on surrendering a benefit or a right. And that's exactly what's happening in Australia, where the government there is now, looks like it's now expanding its demands from the children being vaccinated to everyone being vaccinated. That is the program.
We have been saying for more than a decade at the Natural Solutions Foundation, and we have the irritating habit of being right when other people are still saying, oh, that's ridiculous, and then we turn out to be right. I call it the Cassandra complex. We have been saying
what's really difficult about that is, like, not only are you right, and you've been right for 10 years at least, right, publicly, right out there in the airwaves. But when you tell somebody something you were telling people 10 years ago, they still think you're crazy, even though you've been right for 10 years, even though you've been saying the same thing for 10 years.
Let us be clear. You can be crazy and be right, and there is no guarantee that we are not all quite batty, but we are all quite correct. Wouldn't you agree?
Join us. Our battiness, yes. If you want to join us in our battiness and get one of those little cards, we must show them the card again. I must have one of these around here somewhere. That's right. You go to the following tiny URL. We use tiny URLs to make it easier to get to websites. tinyurl.com/AVD card. AVD, Advanced Vaccine Directive. AVD card. And a little donation. Foundation will get you your card. We think exactly. It's a great way for people to support our foundation and for us to support people.
And so, support that's our message. And if you're still wavering because you haven't been listening to Vinny long enough, or to me, or to Ralph, or to Sherry Tenpenny, or to Vaxxed, or to reality. And by the way,
I love it how she just kind of adds that on the end there.
That reality is coming home to bite everybody in the butt. Before General Burt untimely passed on, he gave us some final warnings. And the final warning and a paper he published before he went to hospital, it was that the great culling has begun. And he said the tipping point has been reached, and the year 2017 is going to be the year when it will be undeniable that the tipping point, the population crash, has begun. Just like we saw in the old Soviet Union, where the result of the insanity that was communism resulted in a collapse of the population, where Russian males, the most privileged people in that society, were dying younger and younger and younger. The same thing has begun to happen in the so-called free countries of the world. The United States is leading the way. General Burt cited certain statistics that show that the baby boomer generation is living at least as long as their parents, if not longer. But the generation younger than that are not gaining longevity on their parents. And the generation before that are not gaining longevity on their parents. We've reached a tipping point where
He wrote at that time the statistics were available for males. Males between 45 and 55 were living a shorter time. Males between 35 and 45 were living even shorter. Males tend to be the most privileged in the inequitable societies that we're talking about. And now, and his prediction was that the female population would start to show the same loss of longevity. And indeed, just in the last month, those statistics have begun emerging. We are dying younger. We are dying of more degenerative diseases. Alzheimer's disease was, when I graduated from medical school in 1970, which was indeed within living memory, I am pleased to say, not everyone is pleased to say that, but I am. When I graduated from medical school, Alzheimer's disease could not be diagnosed in someone younger than 65, by definition. Now, I have treated people, a brother and a sister, 17 and 18 years old with Alzheimer's disease because their food has been weaponized and their bodies have been weaponized and their genome has been weaponized by vaccination, by chemtrailing, by food that is not designed to support life, and by medications that similarly are not designed to support life.
As Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Exactly. Exactly. We make the strong prediction that the tipping point has been reached and that it's going to be measurable and that it will not be able to be ignored. And I believe that as that happens, people are going to be looking for answers and they're going to be looking to find out who is responsible. And I suggest to those people who work for the CDC and similar agencies, you better start figuring out what your exit strategy is.
Yes, and your exit strategy better not be killing more of us. Because right. That's not going to work. There is a point at which the tipping is against you guys. It is very important to realize that we're not talking about some theoretical possibility. We're talking about your life, your family, your longevity, your children, and most importantly, your genome. There are two resources I want to give you. One is a paper that I wrote on vaccination that I delivered in India that basically created a firestorm there because I told the truth about vaccines. That's all. I said they don't work. They have never worked. They never prevented or cured anything. And the way that polio and smallpox were eliminated was by changing their names to non-polio ascending acute flaccid paralysis and monkeypox, which is smallpox by another name.
That's
and
good Shazam. Because my brother is really into this, into the vaccine thing, and researching into them, and he doesn't like them, but he still thinks the polio vaccine does something good, or he still thinks that vaccine does something good, and hasn't thrown them all out. And I said to him, look, bro, what they did is, when the polio vaccine got introduced, polio disappeared, but chronic fatigue syndrome went, out everywhere.
No, it's even worse than that. It's even worse than that. In the 13 months, I mean, that's correct, but it's even worse. In the 13 months before India was declared a polio-free country by the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Creation of the United States government, the number of cases of non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, which is the same as acute flaccid paralysis, i.e. polio, is caused by the same virus, and it's disseminated by the vaccination.
That's the
number of cases in vaccinated children went from basically nothing because there wasn't a vaccine push to 57,300 children who were either dead or crippled by this polio vaccine.
If they're much more virulent form, that particular paralysis is much more virulent. Whereas
more virulent.
Get polio, recover, get this artificial polio, they're much worse off.
And I mentioned this in my paper that I delivered in India, thinking, well, everybody in India knows it. I'll just mention it lightly, just to be complete. And essentially, they didn't know it. Not the doctors who were opposed to vaccines, not anybody, because it had been hidden in India. And the largest English language newspaper in India, which is perplexingly called the Hindu. Okay. Anyway, the Hindu demanded the next day that the government of India rescind my license, which was handy for me because the government of India didn't issue my license. But anyway, they were completely horrified by the fact that this fact had been made public, because we're supposed to hide this. Please have your brother go to or do a search for Dr. Rima India Paper. That's DRRIMA India Paper. And he will find the paper which has the government statistics from the UK and Wales showing that the vaccines not only did not eliminate the infectious diseases that he loves them so much for, but they cause up spikes in the infectious diseases.
Right. You see in example after example and disease after disease, there was a major reduction in the diseases brought about by hygiene, nutrition, and sanitation. And then when the vaccines were introduced, there's upticks and ups and downs and all sorts of interesting things happening. In fact, in recent years, almost every outbreak of an infectious disease has been triggered by vaccinated individuals.
Measles? You want to talk measles?
I just wanted to back up something Ralph said just there about outbreaks actually being caused by the vaccines. And what reminds me is Jane Burgermeister actually breaking the story during the swine flu outbreak, I think, that a giant pharmaceutical company actually had contaminated their vaccine specifically with that virus and then shipped it into Europe. But before it could actually be released and be given to the public, they tested those vaccines on stoats and weasels who all died as a result of receiving the shot, and so the things didn't go out. Now, what's interesting about that is in order for a vaccine to even escape the manufacture process and be sent somewhere to get administered, it has to go through like 50 different security checks or something like that, which all simultaneously failed, i.e. it was deliberate.
Well, it's even worse than that. It was actually the avian flu. And what happened was that Baxter had a contract with 17 countries that if avian flu broke out, they would be the only manufacturer of vaccines and the entire populace would be vaccinated. Think about the amount of money Baxter would make from that and then from the downstream diseases that it would cause. And Baxter then sent contaminated vaccines with the virus capable of causing the disease to these countries in Europe. And it was only because a Czech technician decided to, not C-Z-E-C-H, but C-H-E-C-K, and he checked it in Czechoslovakia, and suddenly he found, oh my God, this is indeed a deadly vaccine lot. Oh, they're all deadly vaccine lots. And it was stopped because one man did his job and reported upon it. Now, we're talking about a pandemic flu that was designed, according to what we know about the genetic manufacture of this, and was predicted to kill gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of people. And it might have if they had gotten it. But people stayed away because the country said, oh, I guess we shouldn't inoculate anybody with that. Whereas the swine flu vaccine in 2009 was already funded, and it was announced to Congress in the United States that there would be, note, it was announced to Congress that they had no choice in the matter, that the FDA had decided that there was going to be a mandatory vaccine program, starting with those who wanted it first. And Ralph and I and General Burt discovered, by just doing simple internet homework, that the amount of squalene that they were going to extend the vaccines with, because supposedly they didn't have enough, the amount of squalene that they were going to inject just happened to coincide with the amount that the U.S. government holds two patents on for the purpose of injecting to cause irreversible immune-mediated infertility and sterility.
So which is, ladies and gentlemen, commonly known as Gulf War Syndrome.
Exactly.
Which when the soldiers went to the Gulf War and they said, oh, that Saddam's got all these chemical weapons that we sold him, and he's got all these other stuff that we sold him, so we're going to have to try and protect you by injecting you with squalene and water, oil and water adjuvants, which will give you a horrible disease when you're home.
And we'll give your wife and your kids that same horrible disease when you're home.
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, that's the ideal.
And we'll make you infertile. Yay! Triple win. So this same stuff was going to be added to the swine flu vaccine. Remember, the vaccine spreads the disease. And people would become infertile, but they'd never know because everybody was going to receive it. There would be no control group, and they wouldn't know that they were infertile until 20 years later if they were kids.
Boom!
Yes.
This truly is the lighter side of genocide, is it not?
Yeah.
And what happened was, in the United States at least, millions of people using our action item sent messages to their legislators saying, we will not accept this vaccine. And so when Sebelius, the Secretary of Health, the Secretary of Disease, right, of Human Disservice, when she said to Congress, everyone's going to be vaccinated, starting with the volunteers, she was talking about actually spreading the supply by adding the squalene. And she said, the FDA's own scientists will not sign off on this, so we can't do it until there's a national health emergency declared. Less than a week later, the occupant of the White House, one Barack Hussein Obama, signed that executive order for a disease that did not really exist and would not become a pandemic. People rejected the vaccine because they didn't have a place for that.
Ralph,
you, we lost you. You said one Barack Hussein Obama. Yes. Say it again.
Signed the emergency order within a week of that testimony by the Secretary of Disease.
For a disease that wasn't present.
That's what I was about to say. And it didn't become present because people refused the vaccine. But the plan was to mix this vaccine with the squalene at 90,000 locations around the United States. You know,
what could possibly go wrong?
Right. Grammar school cafeterias and town hall basements, you know, pharmaceutical facilities like that. That's what they were going to do. They were going to have nurses sticking the needles into the vials of the vaccine and pushing in the squalene and trying to figure out whether there was enough not to kill people directly. It was going to be a wonderful event.
Now that is what you call clinical Husseinity.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
They're better organized now. They are better organized for the next run.
Well,
they've gone through a whole series of mandates in Australia, in California, and elsewhere. And it's going to be much more difficult next time around. And believe me, next time around is coming up really soon.
Speaking of what's coming up very soon, the very end of the show, we have less than 2 minutes to go. So we've gotten off a bunch of new websites and things like that off you guys, and we want
to DrRemaTruthReports.com. DrRemaTruthReports.com. You'll see a link to the AVD cards right there on the main page. There's a link to some of General Burt's important papers. His 2017 assessment is essential for everyone to read or listen to. It's there both ways, and the links are there to get the AVD card, which you need to get.
Now, you cannot use a credit card because the man doesn't want you to have easy access, so you have to use an international money order or some other thing of that sort. I apologize.
Or Bitcoin.
Or Bitcoin.
Now, near the end of the documentary, Vaxxed, spoiler alert for you, ladies and gentlemen, because so many new vaccines keep getting added to the schedule and because the autism rates keep exploding, it's now at an exponential curve. That exponential curve will peak at 2030. And at that point, 1 in 2 people, that's 80% of boys, 20% of women, will be autistic if this is allowed to continue. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are you fighting for? You're fighting for your life. Okay, you're fighting for the future of the human race.
Your species. You're mm-hmm. fighting for the future of the human species and your life. Dr. Rima, what do you think?
There's only one thing worth fighting for, and that's your health freedom. Either you own your body and you're a free man or woman, or you're a slave.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation, thank you very much for tuning in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is the lighter side of genocide because there is nothing worse than the truth except Vinnie's jokes. And bear in mind, I am in a bit of a financial crisis here myself as well. So if you can, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate through the Patreon, the PayPal, and the Kiwi Bank, which for me, fortunately, because I don't cure diseases, is still working. Now... Speaking of which, my wife is going in for surgery, so we need a whole month's rent up front. That's about 1,400 New Zealand dollars. So anything you can give to help us, ladies and gentlemen, while she's recovering on the couch watching our DVD collection with nothing else to do, please do go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Donate today. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion because they're a do-it-yourself radio network and we just need that so much.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.